Why don't you stand on your feet one more time? Let's honor our guest today. Thank you, Pastor George.
Hey, Tommy. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. You can be seated. You guys look awesome. I'm so proud of you. This church feels so strong and healthy. I was back in the office area when you started and just had some time to pray. And I will say this, if you step out a side door, I felt like Jesus. Behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. I could hear him saying, "Where's our guest speaker?" And I had stepped out the side and I couldn't get back in the side door. But I don't feel like Jesus is on the outside standing at the door knocking. I feel like he's here. Someone has given an opening to the presence of the Lord. I'm proud of the church. There's a healthy feeling here. I love the Hoopers. Pastor Darrell and I go back many, many years. I was calculating how many years we've known each other, and it's a long time. It's crazy when you've known each other for longer than you are old. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Does it freak you out when you calculate, like, if you were to have a class reunion, what year that would be? I thought the other day, there's no way I've been out of high school that long. But time just keeps rushing. I want to say that Pastors Darrell and Kristen are the real deal. And I remember, I was thinking, Pastor Darrell, when you and I were in seminary, Bible college, a lot of the guys were chasing after a lot of things. But I know you were always chasing after God. We were always serious chasing after God. And I thought this morning, while a lot of the guys were chasing pretty girls, Pastor Darrell and I were chasing after God, and we got the two prettiest girls in all the world. Isn't that something? When you chase after God, God gives you great things. My wife is here, and I'm so happy she's here. I wish she was up here to say something to you, but she said she didn't want to take any of my time. I wish my wife would stand, though, and you just give her a good welcome today. Karen is precious to me. I'm so proud of Jude. Jude has grown. He's taller than I am now, but he's grown in his love for God, and the Hoopers have just done a tremendous job, and you have done a tremendous job. You've created an environment of God's presence. I stood over here and wept this morning at the realness of your worship, the realness of your heart for God. I wish somebody would say, "Thank you for being real." I wish somebody else would say it. Say, "Thank you for being real." This worship team led us into the presence of God today, and the musicians. And I'm really proud of you. That's not in my notes to say. I didn't step up here and I planned this before I got here. I'm telling you from my heart, I am so proud of you and you and you and you and you. Would you help me and just touch somebody close to you and say, "I am so proud of you"? Did y'all say it like you meant it? How many of y'all would help me preach for just maybe a couple hours? One guy said, I was preaching in Indiana years ago, and he said, "Now look, you can preach as long as you want to," but he said, "at 12 o'clock we're going for fried chicken." Pastor Darrell said, "We're not trying to set any records," and I understand that. Boy, we, as an evangelist, sometimes we'd get stretched out and go crazy, and now I'm a pastor, and so there's a lot of teaching that you do, and so I just want to talk to you today and see what God will do. We're in a series of glory, and glory is one of those words that we probably say it and don't really even know what it means, because it sounds so spiritual. And it's a God term, a church term, that it's easy. And I'm telling you as a 30-year-old today, somebody better help me preach. I'm every bit of 30. My dad, they said, "How much do you weigh, Pastor?" To my dad, he said, "I'm 200 pounds and none of your business." So I'm at least 30. But it's easy for me, having even been raised in the church, to wonder, what does glory really mean? What does glory really mean? So I want to talk about what is glory. I want to take you into one of my favorite passages in all the scripture, in Exodus chapter 33. Everyone just say, Lord Jesus, my mind is open. My heart is open. Speak to me. Say, do what you want to do. Say, I'm speaking to you, and I want you to give me your touch right now in Jesus' name. We're going to have fun today, and we're going to feel the presence of the Lord and hear the word of the Lord. I want to show you one of my favorite passages. Moses had an understanding of the presence of God like nobody before him. And in Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, the Lord is telling Moses to go into battle. In verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Verse 13, if you are pleased with me, then teach me your ways. Not just your actions, but your ways. The psalmist David said that the children of God knew his actions, but Moses knew his ways. Moses knew the character of God, and Moses was interesting. I want you to teach me the way that you operate. Teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Somebody say, I'm blessed and highly favored. You say, why are you asking me to say so much? Because by your words you are justified. By your words you are condemned. There is power in what you say about you. I was checking out at racetrack one day this week, and I said to the gentleman behind the counter, I said, you're a good man. And he said, you know, people tell me that sometimes. He said, and then sometimes there's a lot of people that tell me some other stuff too. And I said, but what do you say about yourself? Because I can say you're a good man, and he can say you're a bad man, but what matters most is who do you say that you are after we're all gone? Because what you agree with, the word that you agree with, is what creates glory, the synergistic power of God. Because when we say, God, you be glorified in this house. Lord, you are the healer. I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you're my portion. We are sending out glory to God. And when we send glory to him, he sends glory to us. And it creates a synergistic power that is the action of God. He said, I want to continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Everywhere I read about God, he brings peace. He brings power. He brings rest. He brings goodness. God is a God of blessing. And he said, my presence will go with you, and my presence will give you rest. Then I love this verse, verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, then do not send us up from here. Moses said, I'd rather stay right here than enter into the land of promise if I don't have your presence with me. Moses was so in love with the presence of God that he said, I'd rather stay right here than to take one step out of your presence. I want to ask you a question. Did you feel his presence in the room today? Can you feel his presence as we sing and give glory and give praise to him? And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord, David said, is our strength. Our strength is connected to our joy, and our joy comes in his presence. So I want to just teach you and show you a few points here today. Moses understood that if he had the presence of God, he had the power or the glory of God. Moses trained Israel to honor and to love the presence of the Lord. It's one of the things that I could feel in this room today, and it's been a few years since I've been here, but I can feel that you've been going to the spiritual gym and getting your reps in the presence of the Lord. There is an atmosphere, there is a culture here of the presence of God. And in His presence, anything can happen. Moses trained Israel, the presence of God is necessary. And I want to just continue reading here, because Moses talked about the glory of the Lord. Verse 16, Exodus 33, Moses is asking God, how will anyone know that you're looking favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us, I want you to notice this. Moses said, it is your presence among us that sets us apart from all the other people of the earth. Moses understood it wasn't just a dot on their forehead, or it wasn't a shirt that said Team Church, the Church Covington. It wasn't a special uniform. It was the presence of God that set the people of God apart. Can I tell you that when you're in the atmosphere of this house and you go to eat this afternoon, there's going to be something on you that may not be on the person you're sitting beside. It may not be on the next table, and it is because you've been in the arena, the atmosphere of the presence of God. Somebody shout yes. His presence makes everything different. And Moses said, it is your presence that sets us apart. Verse 17, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked for, because I look favorably on you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, verse 18, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. Moses had already seen the burning bush. Moses had already been up to the mountaintop where God carved his law with the finger of God in that holy moment. But he was not content just to stay where he was. He said, God, I want you now to show me your glory. I want you to reveal to me the greatness. I want you to show me what you can do. Now, I will tell you that as long as Israel had that presence, the Ark of the Covenant, as long as they had that Ark of presence, as long as they were faithful to the presence of God, no power could defeat them. As long as they kept the Ark, no power of the enemy could defeat them. Can I tell you that what I felt this morning as we began to sing, and as the worship team began to sing and usher us into God's presence, what I felt here today, as long as you keep His presence, no enemy can defeat you. No force in this earth or in hell beneath can defeat you. God's presence gives us that power, and God's presence produces God's miracle. Where you find the presence of God, you find God's miracle. You find God's healing, and you find God's provision. I want to say the second thing I'd want to point out to you is there is a huge danger in losing the presence of God. Have you ever been in a time where you could not feel the presence of the Lord? Where God does not bless a mess. God does not bless a mess. There are a lot of things that may not be just set just right, but when we set the house in order and prepare a table, God will step in. And I believe that the table has been set. You can feel the excellence. I can see Pastor Darrell and Kristen's fingerprints all over this place as I come up to the outside and the flower beds look nice, and I step into the inside and you can see the excellence and the cleanliness, and I step into here and everything is in order and the offices are in order, and I hear the worship team and they begin to set the presence in order and leading us into the presence of God. I want to tell the Church Covington, will you listen to me today? I believe that the table has been set. Pastor Hooper has been here for 5 years. Five is the number of grace. I believe that the grace of God is here, and there has been a master reset in the spirit and in the heart of this church. And I am declaring today that the table has been set where the presence of God can move and the glory of God can fall. I believe God wants to do something in the Church Covington. I believe God wants to do something in your life. I believe God wants to do something in a practical nature. I want to just show you a little bit in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 22. The Bible said a woman cried, the glory is departed from Israel. For the ark of God, or the ark of presence, the Bible calls it, is taken. So I want to ask the question, what is glory? What is glory? The glory of God is the manifest attributes of God that become accessible to us when we glorify Him. Songs about glory have been rolling over in my mind as I was preparing to come and teach on this topic of God's glory. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great. That's giving God glory. You do miracles so great. That's giving God glory. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. We're giving him glory that is due him. And when we sing out and speak out his glory, the attributes of God become clear. Because what we declare about God becomes real. And it becomes realized as we worship him. Glory is not just some ethereal, mystical, out there concept. The glory of God is the goodness of God. Show me your glory is what Moses said. Show me your glory. And when God spoke back to him, God said, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. Can I tell you that God is a good God? God is not concerned with blistering you. God is wanting to bless you. God is not here to punish you. God is here to love on you and to embrace you. That's why we sing, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. Y'all sing that in Georgia? That's who you are. That's who you are, and I'm loved by you. He's a good, good father. Statistically, there are some of us in this room and a large number of us that may not have had a great earthly father. But we have a heavenly Father who loves us and who cares and who can. And he's here to help us today. He's here to bless us today. He's here to breathe upon you the breath of life and the breath of favor and the breath of blessing. Somebody shout yes. In its simplest form, glory is a manifestation of God. And it's God working on your behalf. God's glory is not meant to be something that is so spiritual that it isn't practical and relevant. Nor is glory meant to be so practical that it isn't spiritual. It's not one or the other, it's both and. In other words, the glory of God could be something you feel while your hands are raised in his presence on Sunday, but the glory of God can show up on your job on Monday and help you with a problem you couldn't solve on your own. The glory of God is not just meant to be a Sunday event, but God wants to reveal his glory in your life when you're writing your checks on Friday. Y'all not going to help me today. God wants to show up in your checkbook. God wants to show up in your job. God wants to show up in your business. God wants to show up in your family. His glory is revealed by his goodness. The Bible said it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It's God's glory. It's his power. It's his work in action. I want to demystify glory and tell you that glory is supremely practical. Too often we marginalize, we actually heavenize the glory, and we fail to see how it manifests in our everyday life, like in artifacts and in culture. The Bible said the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies above declare his craftsmanship, David said. When I stepped out this morning and saw that beautiful blue sky, can I tell you when God paints a sky beautiful blue, there's not a blue in Sherwin-Williams paint store that can compare with the blue of God's beautiful sky. I don't know how he did it, but he just knew how to pick just the right color. Karen and I were on the way to the airport yesterday, and clouds were hanging low in Dallas, and I said to her, somewhere above those clouds, there's a beautiful blue sky waiting on us. I want to preach to somebody today, the clouds Can I step off the stage? I know the lights aren't down there. Somebody may be in a time right now where the clouds are hanging low, but God sent me to tell you somewhere just above those clouds, there's a beautiful blue sky for you. I came to preach the devil's off of you today. I came to preach the blessings of God in your life today. I came to preach to you that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. And I want to tell you today, glory is not just a Sunday event, but God wants to bless your business on Monday. Who am I preaching here that God wants to raise you up as a king in his house? That God wants to raise you up as a businessman? I might be preaching to the next mayor right here. I might be preaching to the next city official. Maybe God wants you to get involved and be on some board that would help send directions that godliness could rule our nation, that godliness could rule our county, that godliness could rule this city, that the city of Covington would be covered by the grace of God. Hallelujah. God's glory is not just a Sunday event, but God's glory can be revealed in a business dealing. Y'all not going to help me preach today. God's glory can drop an idea in your mind that is beyond your ability to ask or even think. And God, is there anybody here today that says, I'm the head and not the tail? I am above and not beneath. I am too blessed to be stressed. I had computer problems one time. Anybody ever had computer problems? How many times have you called customer service and they say on the other end of the line, I'm so slow, these computers are, is it just me? These computers are running so slow today. I said, don't worry about it, darling. They knew I was calling. I was having some computer problems, and so I took it in, and they said, what you need is a master reset. A master reset. And I started weeping as this week I felt the Lord speak to my heart that today in this service, he wants to give somebody a master reset. A reset that is done by the master. A reset of your mind and of your spirit. I am preaching to somebody today that the devil has been trying to convince you you're losing your mind. And there is no hope for you. And there is no way out for your situation. But God sent me, can I preach to you today? God sent me to tell you he wants to do a master reset in your mind, in your spirit, in your thinking, in your heart. I am declaring to you by the power of the name of Jesus, there will be a master reset in somebody's heart, in somebody's soul. If you'll plug into what I'm saying today, somebody can leave here blessed instead of stressed. Somebody can leave here today saying, God's favor has touched me. I am blessed and highly favored. It'll be back to Pastor Darrell soon, but let the crazy man from Texas tell you that I just believe that with God, nothing shall be impossible. I'm going to keep preaching that our God is able, that God can do anything, that God can raise the dead, that God can make a way in the wilderness. He can make a stream in the desert. Somebody shout yes. I'm telling you, if somebody will plug into what I'm saying today, blessing will start chasing you down like Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, God said, I will cause my blessing to overtake you. You know what that is? That's the glory of God chasing us down when we put ourselves in alignment for his favor and his blessing on us. Boy, when I get this feeling on me, I feel like I could tackle hell with a water pistol. I feel like going bear hunting with a switch. Come on, I came after the enemy that is trying to defeat you and distract you and destroy you. And the enemy wants to steal the ark, and that's what left them saying here in our text in 1 Samuel 4, the glory has departed, the ark has gone. I want to tell you, the enemy wants to convince you that the ark is gone and the glory has departed. But I have come to declare in the church Covington, the glory of the Lord is in this house. The glory of the Lord fills the temple. And it's not just this temple. It's not just this house of God. But the glory of the Lord wants to fill this temple so that when you step out on a piece of property, God can give you that property. Can I testify to you a little bit today? God is able to place you in positions that you could not place yourself. Let me just say that God's glory means that God has manifest himself. God's glory is his action, his manifestation of God showing up. For instance, three Hebrews, they wouldn't bow. They're thrown in the fire. God shows up. That's glory. Daniel in the lion's den, and the lions couldn't harm him. They could not. God sealed their mouth. I feel like some of you are saying, I wish God would do that for my spouse. I wish God would do that for somebody I'm having to deal with right now. I wish God would seal their mouth. God sealed the mouths of the lions. They could not. You know what that was? Glory showed up. John the Revelator dropped into a pot of boiling oil, and the oil could not burn him. You know what that was? That was glory. Somebody shout glory. That was glory showing up. When you shout out glory, God's glory responds to you. That's why we say lift your hands and clap your hands and shout to God with a voice of victory, because as we give him glory, his glory comes back to us. The wave comes in and the wave goes out, and God's glory is working on something in our lives. God's glory can show up in a job situation. God's glory can show up in a doctor's office. God's glory can show up in a business dealing. God's glory shows up and it makes a difference in our lives. The ark was taken. The glory was departed. The enemy wants to convince you that the ark of God is gone and the glory is gone, but God wants to reveal his power and glory. I want to tell you that you do have an enemy that is fighting you. I want to just show you a few ways that the devil will fight you. Revelation 12 says, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. We have an accuser who is working against us day and night. Have you noticed the devil doesn't take any vacations? Y'all all right out there? It's like he always works. He's always working against us. I want to just show you a few areas the devil will fight you. A, he'll take your desire for the things of the Spirit. If you feel like your spiritual desire and passion has been waning, that is a direct attack of the enemy. The second way the enemy will fight you is he will try to wear you out emotionally and physically. He'll try to wear down your emotions. He'll try to distract you and leave you distraught, discouraged, and despondent. He'll wear you out emotionally and physically. Daniel 7 said that they will speak against the Most High to wear out the saints of the Most High. The enemy, the devil, he wants to wear you down. The third thing that you can know the devil is working against you, he will make you feel totally overwhelmed. He'll make you feel totally overwhelmed, like things that should not be overwhelming you, and now you just feel like, I just can't do it. There's no way. I'm totally overwhelmed. That is a direct attack of hell. Just hold on. I got some good news coming. Another way the enemy will work against us, and you know the devil is fighting you, is he will try to bring back past failures or past sins. The things that you once thought you had victory over, and the devil will come back with old habits or hang-ups or old relationships. It may be someone that you had to get victory over, and you thought you had victory over that situation, and the enemy will try to bring back past failures or sins. You know you're under a direct attack of hell. Somebody shout yes. And then the last thing I want to show you is when the enemy will try to separate you from right relationships. He'll try to separate you from right people. He'll try to separate you from right worship. He'll try to separate you from right church. He'll try to separate you from right presence. And when the enemy is trying to sever right relationships in your life, you know you're under a direct attack from hell. But the people of Israel learned that as long as they had God's presence,
The enemy could not win over them. I want to tell you, there is no enemy that can conquer you when you still have a hallelujah in you. There is no enemy that can overcome you when you still have a hallelujah in your heart. There is no enemy that can conquer when you still have God's power and God's glory in your life. I want to come to a close. 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Bible tells us that Saul had been anointed king, and Saul is the king, and the ark was absent. And to me, one of the saddest things is that Saul never thought to inquire of the presence of God. I'm laughing because I see the musicians coming because they heard me say I'm closing. Our church at home has learned they don't even move till I say it the third time because they know the first two don't mean a thing. But they're helping build faith in the house. One preacher, when I was an evangelist, he said, I finally learned what it means when you say I'm closing. I said, what? He said, absolutely nothing. I'm closing. That's the second one. There's faith in the house. Saul never inquired. He never asked for the ark of God. The ark of God represented the presence of God. Saul never thought to inquire of the ark. I want to ask you, is there still hunger and desire in your heart for the ark, for the presence of God? I could feel the presence of the Lord here as I came in today, and as you were starting your service, and there were rehearsals going on, and there were prayers going on. We're building a table and a platform for the presence of God. And when you build Him a house, He shows up to fill the house. Saul never inquired of the ark of God, but 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 11, the ark of the Lord was in Obed-Edom's house because they were trying to transport the ark wrongly. And you remember that story, no doubt, where the ark was falling off the cart. Perhaps Pastor Darrell may teach on this more. I just want to extract a quick point here. The ark was left in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. The Bible says, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Because when you have the ark of God's presence, it blesses everything in your life. Somebody say, I am blessed. Come on, say it again. Say, I am blessed. It doesn't matter if I say you're blessed, if you say you're not blessed, your word will counteract the word I'm trying to speak over you. Somebody shout, I am blessed. You say, I don't feel blessed right now. That prophet Joel that prophesied, in the last days saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That same prophet, I called him Joel, but Joel. That same prophet Joel said this, let the weak say, I am strong. Somebody shout, I am strong. Shout, I am blessed. That means that you can feel like you're cursed, but you can still say, I am blessed. And when you declare with your mouth, I am blessed, you're giving Him glory and you're giving Him something to attach to. Somebody say, I am blessed. I feel the faith and power of God here to set the captive free. Obed-Edom's house was blessed because the ark of God was there. And I'm telling you that when you're in the atmosphere of the presence of God, His presence gets on your clothes, it gets in your skin, it gets in your heart. And then everywhere you go, you are a carrier of the presence of God. You are a carrier of the glory. You are a carrier of the blessing. And I'm just telling you that everywhere you go, you ought to carry blessing with you because you are blessed. Karen and I went to Colorado Springs to minister last summer, and I had been teaching on the power of what we say, and let the weak say, I am strong. And so I ministered that night before on some message about the power of our words and how we host His presence with our words. The words that you speak give glory to God, and when you give glory to God, God gives glory back to you. The whole earth shall be filled with His glory. The heavens declare His glory. And the skies proclaim His handiwork. So I was teaching on the power of of God and the power of what we say and the power of the words of our mouth. The next day I came for the morning service and taught again on the power of what we don't say, how important it is what we don't say, what we refuse to allow to come out of our mouth. And so we went to lunch, and there were probably 25 or 30 of us at that big table, and everybody gets up and leaves except just four of us are left there talking. And they came running back in and said, would you come outside? So-and-so has had a spell. One of the family members that was up visiting from Arkansas, she's had a spell, and she needs prayer. And so I thought we were going out to pray for someone who had maybe tripped over a parking divider or tripped off of a sidewalk. I did not realize that as we were going out and I approached that car, both the driver and passenger door open. The driver was the husband. He had gotten out, and he's walking, pacing back and forth, wringing his hands and screaming and crying. And when I got there to that open door, there was a nurse there, and she said, I've taken her vitals. She's dead. She hasn't breathed now in over 2 minutes. So my first response was, God, give me the words to comfort this husband that's screaming and crying over here and wringing his hands. Give me the words to comfort this man. That's where my mind went. But I'm standing here by that open door, and the Spirit of the Lord says to me, you've been talking for 6 weeks about the power of my word. Why don't you speak life over this individual? I was wanting to speak encouragement and comfort to the one who had lost his wife, and God is wanting to speak life into a situation that looks like it's over. And I am preaching to you, if you will allow me, and just open your heart. I love you. I speak to you in the love of God. But if you will allow me to speak to you and declare today, I have come not to encourage or to speak hope to those who have lost. I have come to speak life into what you thought was over and what you thought was dead and what you thought was finished. I have come to declare the power of the life of God that wants to breathe life into your situation. If that means something to somebody, if there's anybody in here that you want to claim that for a situation in your life, I'm not saying everybody stand, but if there's one or two or three of you that you connect with that word and you say, I want you to speak life over my situation, I want you to stand right now. Just stand. I want you to speak life over my situation. I want you to speak life in a situation in my life, in my family. If there are any grandparents here, just I want you to remain standing. But if you're a grandparent, you have grandchildren, I want grandparents to stand right now. I felt as I was praying this week that I was going to bless future generations in this service, and we're going to send glory to grandchildren, and future generations be blessed by the glory, the manifest attributes of God's goodness. If you're a parent in this room and there's a child that you have and you need God's glory to show up in their life and you're believing for a child, I want you to stand right now. So here I am beside this car. I'm wanting to speak comfort to the man who'd suffered loss, and God challenges me. You've been teaching people and telling everybody for 6 weeks that there's power in what you say. Why don't you activate and use and speak life over this individual? So I stepped up there real calmly and quietly, because quite honestly, I didn't want anybody hearing what I was saying, because I didn't want to be embarrassed. Oh, ye of little faith. I said, God, you're right. I've been telling everybody for 6 weeks the power of life and death is in our tongue. The power of life or the power of death is right here. And so I'm going to speak life. So I stepped up just real quietly and eased up to that door, and I said, called the lady's name. I said, I command the breath of God to come in you. And I'm telling you, she was laid out. Color had left her body. Her mouth was gaping open and her tongue just swollen and hanging out of her mouth. She was a terrible sight. And I said, I command the breath of God to come into your body. I speak that you will live and not die. And I wasn't screaming. I was just talking just gently and softly. And I talked to her for 2 or 3 minutes. And she just laid out. And that nurse is down there checking and looked at her eyes. Her eyes had dilated. She had all of the signs. Everything looked like death. But God said, speak life. I am declaring and prophesying to you in this room today, there are things that look like death, and God has come here today saying, I want to reveal my glory. I want to show you what I can do. I want to speak life. And I said, breath of God, enter into this lady. Breath of God, enter in you. Breathe. Breathe the breath of God. And I'm just rehearsing and exemplifying and using everything that I'd been teaching for 6 weeks. I command you to live and not die. I command breath to come into you. And after several minutes, the nurse later told me it was 8.5 minutes that she didn't breathe. She was there with her. 8.5 minutes, and she was timing that, looking and clocking in. But after 8.5 minutes, she she gave a little cough, and we saw her mouth start moving. She said, Jesus. Those ladies around her said, yeah, that's it, baby. Just call on that name, Jesus. I'm telling you, you don't even have to be able to say his name right. When you call on his name in your heart, the Bible said, you will be saved. I wonder if there's anybody from the back all the way to the front that you want to run down here this morning and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I want you to step out of your chairs and come to this altar today and believe God to give glory and reveal his glory in your life. If you're believing that God can speak life into your situation, step down here quickly. That's it. Come on down here quickly. God is going to speak life into your situation. God is going to breathe fresh hope and fresh help and fresh air. I declare the glory of God. I declare the power of God to work in your life and in your family and in your heart and in your home. Speak life. I declare life. I declare life over you. I declare life over you. I declare hope over you. They're going to lead us into the presence of God. Just call on that name, Jesus. Just call on that name, Jesus. Just call on that name, Jesus. I need.